Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Well, we had a great time last weekend celebrating Easter, didn't we? But we continue to move forward from that now. We're continuing to the everything that God's got for us that's beyond the grave, that's beyond the cross, that's beyond the resurrection, and into the fullness of everything that Jesus is now working in our lives today. It's very much about today. He's a God of today. He's interested in your today. He's interested not so much in your yesterday. And he's certainly very interested in your tomorrow. And he doesn't change. He's the same God. But today I want to speak to you about seeing with eyes of faith. Seeing with eyes of faith. Because there's two different ways of seeing something. There's a way of seeing something how we see it in the natural. I can look out into this congregation this morning. I see you as people. I see humans sat there. I see chairs. I can look out into the street. And I can see what I see with my human eyes. And that is a reality. But there's also another reality, which is when I see with my eyes of faith. Yes. So I can look out into this congregation and not just see humans. I can see people who are followers of Jesus, mm-hmm. who have a call in their life, who have gifts from God, who are filled with the gifts of the Spirit, who are filled with the fruits of the Spirit, and who have an amazing purpose in God. So as I look out, if you are a Jesus follower and I'm looking at you, I know I'm looking at someone who fulfills that mandate which I've just said about seeing with eyes of faith. And for ourselves, sometimes we can look into a situation and we see the normal situation, but we've got to get beyond what we see in the physical sometimes, because sometimes the physical doesn't look so good. But what God sees is something totally different. So there's two different guys I want to look at today. The first one is Joshua. We've looked a little bit at him recently. He's the guy who followed Moses as the leader of the nation of Israel, crossed them over into the promised land. And at this point, they're preparing to their first battle, the battle of a place called Jericho, and also somebody called Elisha. Elisha, also someone who took over the mantle from a great leader. He took over from Elijah. And he was a great prophet and saw double what Elijah had seen because that's what he asked for. And there's some great stuff in there. So these two guys, they lived at different times. They had different roles. But there's something we can learn about their relationship with God and what it is that God see. So the first I want to go to is the book of Joshua, chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. It's also going to appear on the screen, so don't worry about that too much. It says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hands with its king and mighty men of valor.'" So there's a natural situation here. Joshua's looking and he's thinking, okay, God has asked us to take Jericho, to fight for Jericho, or whatever it was that he had in his mind at that time. But when he looked and he saw a city that was fortified, which means it was shut up. No one came in, no one came out. It was locked. And they've done historical digs over the site of Jericho and they've tried to give us a good insight of what the walls of Jericho were actually like. And it wasn't kind of like this castle how we might imagine it, just one wall. There was a wall, then a banking, then a wall, and then a little bit more. And it was this thick, high structure. It was renowned for being this fortified structure. You could not penetrate Jericho. So Joshua, in the natural, is looking and thinking, the city's shut up. Nobody gets in Jericho unless they let you in. Nobody comes out of Jericho unless they let you out. But God comes and says, "Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands." And he's saying, well, what I'm seeing is that the city's shut up. There's no way we're getting in there. But what God is seeing is something far different. He's seeing something different to what Joshua is accessing in his natural eyes. He's accessing something totally different. When we see things through the eyes of faith, God is always bigger than your problem. So Joshua's got a problem here. You know, first thing, they've had their They've crossed over. They're going and everything's going great. And all of a sudden they face this first thing, the city of Jericho, shut up tight. How are we going to do this? But see, I've handed it into your hands. Because what God sees is the walls coming down. What God sees is the Israelites taking this city. What Joshua sees at that point is a city that's locked up. But as soon as God says, see, I've given it to you. It's a bit like when God comes to you and says, see, I've done this for you. And you're like, no, my car's still broken. The bills are still coming through. The provision's not there. But God's saying, see, I have given you the provision. Where? Where is it? Where is it? When we start to see with the eyes of faith and we trust what God says, something shifts. And we don't base it on what we can see in our natural. The human eye is great, isn't it? You know, I'm not going to go into a science lesson about the human eye, but it is an amazing thing. I was just looking into Joey's eyes this morning. I was laid on the bed. I was able to stare right into his eyes and watching his pupils changing and different things. I think, wow, the eye is so amazing. The eye is amazing. What we see with our natural eyes is great. But what we see with our eyes of faith is even greater. It's something far greater. It goes, sees much further, and it sees things that other people can't see. And we're talking about seeing spiritually, seeing spiritual things of God at work, seeing things by faith. That's why it's called eyes of faith. We'll call it of seeing it. Okay, I can see it with my eyes of faith. I don't see it in the natural. The eyes of faith are moved only by God's Spirit and been encouraged by God's Word, whether that's coming through a message, through the Bible, not by what we see through our human eyes. I'm going to go to a story now about Elisha and his servant. This biblical story is about the king of Aram sending horses and chariots and a great army to surround the city where the prophet Elisha is. And this is taken from the book of 2 Kings. They find the full story in chapter 6, verses 11 to 19, but we're going to be focusing on 15 to 17. 2 Kings, it's believed to have been written by the prophet Jeremiah, roughly 560, 540 BC. So quite a while ago. But Elisha's servant is terrified by the fact that these mighty forces have come intent on taking Elijah captive. A whole army has come and surrounded where Elisha and his servant are. A whole army, chariots and horses. And it says horses and chariots and a great army in some translations. So here we are in a situation of looking at this from a natural point of view. You are surrounded by an army. You are surrounded by horses. You are surrounded by chariots. You are surrounded by mighty warriors. And here you are with yourself and your servant, and you're in the middle of a city. I don't know about you, but I think at some point, the servant maybe had a little reason to be a little nervous. a bit of nerves there. Verse 15, "Alas, my master," he said in alarm, "what shall we do?" That's a good question. What shall we do? You know, so you have people come to ask you that all the time, don't you? What shall we do? I don't know. What do you want to do? What shall we do? Well, based on human understanding, it was a perfectly logical question. Because I don't know about you, but I don't always operate like Elisha. And I sometimes find myself in a situation where I'm more like the servant. And I'm a bit like, what shall we do? Oh man, that's happened. What shall we do? This has happened. What shall we do? But with human reasoning, it was a perfectly good question. They were clearly outnumbered. 2 versus an army. It's like, oh man, what's going to happen now? Yet Elisha saw an entirely different picture made possible with his eyes of faith. What he saw was something totally different to what the servant could see. This is his response. "Do not fear," he told his servant, "for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." That's encouraging. Like, what are you on about, Elisha? Look, we're surrounded here. Don't be starting all that again, okay? You come, I was coming out with strange stuff, Elisha. Please, we're surrounded here. I'm kind of scared. Tell me something I need to know. At least tell me we're going to die quickly. At least, you know, we're going to do something. At least, you know, you your mate, he called down fire. Can't you do something like that? Or, you know, can't he teleport us out of here or do something crazy? You know, you do all that kind of stuff. He says, don't fear. There's more of us than there are of them. It's like, am I seeing something that, are you seeing something I'm not here? And that's exactly what is happening. Elisha's servant was standing right next to Elisha. They were right next to each other, but they saw two different realities. They saw two completely different realities. They were looking at the exact same picture, but saw two completely different realities. Yet, something changed. And I love this prayer that Elisha prays. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So all of a sudden, something shifts because the servant stops seeing with his natural eyes. It's the see, I've given you Jericho. See, there's more of us than there are of them. Not in the natural, but in the supernatural. Not in our natural eyes, but with our eyes of faith. His understanding is opened as Elisha prays, God, let him see what I can see. God, let him see what you see. God, let him not only see the physical situation, but to see what's going on deeper and beyond that and into something far greater. And I don't know about you, but I'm not sure how he would have responded when this happened. Because all of a sudden he's going from thinking, we're going to get battered, to, whoa, chariots of fire, seriously? When the music starts to play. And it's like, wow, okay, I kind of get it now, Elisha. I can kind of see, yeah, what have we got to be worried about, have we? Getting a bit cocky about it and a bit like, yeah, I can see what you're on about now, yeah. That's brilliant, chariots of fire. What I love about this is as soon as Elisha prayed, his eyes were opened instantly. He prayed for him and something happened in the servant. He started to see something that he couldn't access in the natural. He started to see something that only by the Spirit of God would he be able to see. He saw into the spiritual realm. He saw the armies. He saw the chariots of fire. He saw the armies of heaven that were there on their side. Great stuff. Powerful stuff. Because when we start to see what God sees, it's a completely different picture to what we see in the physical and what we see in the world. Perhaps you feel right now that you're surrounded by an enemy. Perhaps you're feeling a bit like the servant, that today you're surrounded by those difficulties. You're looking in the natural and all you're seeing is an army surrounding you. That debt, that problem, that needs paying, that needs to be done. I need to be there. I need to speak to that person. I've got to get that done. And you're surrounded by all of these things and you're looking a bit like the servant. What am I going to do? I'm outnumbered. There's more problems than they are me. I'm outnumbered. I'm struggling. Maybe the enemy's armies, the devil's armies have surrounded you and you feel like you're just trapped. You feel like you're caught up in a situation that you just cannot get out of. You're overwhelming. Desire to break free. You're just not seeing with eyes of faith. You're seeing with just the natural thing. You're seeing the problem. You're seeing the situation. You're seeing those things and it's overbearing and overpowering to the point where you're becoming scared and you're asking that question, what shall we do? What shall we do? Elisha, what shall we do? I like it. He said it with alarm. What shall we do? It's not just Elisha, what are we going to do? He said it with alarm. And usually when you say something with alarm, it's a bit more, it's probably shaking him. What are we going to do? Like, calm down. It's okay. Don't panic. Don't panic. Mr. Mandarin. What the solution at sometimes we can't see the solution because we're trying to look at it and solve it with natural circumstances. We see it as a natural problem, so therefore we try to solve it in natural ways. We don't access our faith, we don't access the spiritual realm which we're a part of. And although it's a spiritual battle, we try to defeat the things by using natural ways. Try to argue our way out of something when really we need to just be opening our eyes of faith and praying. We try to reason something when really what we need to do is get over those things and get into a place of seeing with eyes of faith. Just like Elisha's servant, you simply must have your eyes opened to the greatness of God. Once your eyes are open to the greatness of God, no situation is too big. No problem is too big. But once our eyes, you know, I kind of reckon that this servant had his eyes open to the greatness of God at that point. Whoa. I've never seen anything like that before. As I mentioned in the evening service last week, I've seen a physical, I've seen angels with eyes of faith. I've not seen an army and chariots of fire. I'd love to see that. That would be great. They're surrounded by it. Oh, wow. That would be amazing. And you catch something of the almighty power of God. When you see something with your eyes of faith and not just the natural eye, you start to see something far greater and far powerful. I've got a, when I saw the vision of these angels the one time, they were just, it just showed something of the power of God to me. As I've said many a times, and I've mentioned that, they weren't just little chubby babies in nappies with a harp. They were major warrior kind of angels. They were big, and they were warring angels, and they were powerful, and that spoke something to me about the greatness of the power of God. And what they were there to do was great, because nothing was going to overcome the power of those angels. We're declaring that all the time. But when we get that glimpse into the eyes of faith, then we start to see something different to how it's shown in the natural, our whole perspective changes. Our perspective of the situation, our perspective of God, our perspective even of ourselves in that situation of recognizing I cannot do anything about this. I'm helpless, but God is my helper. And when he opens my eyes of faith and I see what he sees, something amazing happens. Chariots of fire appear, horses and the heaven's armies there to outnumber the army that had come against. See, Joshua, I've given you Jericho. Yes, the city's shut up, but you do this, the walls are just going to fall down. You know, archaeologists have done digs at Jericho as well, and they're kind of, one of these digs that they were looking and doing, I don't know how they measure this kind of stuff, but they're kind of reckoning that there is proof that the bricks and the walls of Jericho did just crumble straight down, brick on brick. They just dropped. And apparently the historical archaeological dig kind of found that that is what happened. That, you know, there's stuff people, I love it when people go off to try and prove the Bible wrong and they just prove it even more to be right. But they reckon that the whole wall, the whole area, the whole walls of Jericho just eventually just came down, just crumbled brick on brick and collapsed. Apart from one section, which a lot of people were trying to say, perhaps that's where Rahab's house was positioned in the walls. But, you know, that's just theory. We don't mingle in theory too much. But I like the fact that people do these digs and they find it. And the walls came down. I kind of think Joshua, again, in that situation, like, ah, right, okay, cool. Okay, so we've done our bit. See, I've given you Jericho. Okay, I get it now. That's good. Oh, we better charge. Quick, let's go. The walls are down, go. It's like, but as soon as we start to see that, it shifts the situation. And we don't believe in ourselves. You know, people say, believe in yourself. Don't believe in yourself. Just to say that, I'm not a motivational speaker, and I'm not going to tell you to believe in yourself. Because as soon as I start believing in myself, I'm going to go majorly wrong. I need to believe in God, and I need to believe in God's strength at work in my life. And I need to believe when God says, see, I'm dealing with this situation. See, there's more for you than there is against you. See. Yes. When I start to see in that way, then I don't have to believe in myself, because I'm just like, okay, God, you get on with it. And you know what the great thing is about God? If you try to fight your own battle and you don't see with eyes of faith and you just try to do it, you know what? God's going to let you. Yeah. God will let you. And he'll let you go your whole life battling that same thing in your own strength. And he'll just stand back and be like, you know, it's a bit like, anybody used to watch wrestling with the tag teams? And God's like there, hanging over the ropes with his hand, like, come on, I'm ready for you to tag me in. Come on. Come on. No, all right, mate, I'll wait here. He's just standing there, bored, waiting. All the crowd are thinking, just tag his hand. Tag his hand. Get him in. Get him in. Get him in. Get God into the scene. Get God into the ring. And you're like, no, no, it's fine. I've got this. You're kind of flat on the canvas, battered and kind of like, you know, it's like, no, no, it's okay. I've got this. I've got this. And we struggle. And God's like, he's wanting to jump in the ring. He's wanting to come in and help us, a bit like they do sometimes where your tag team partner jumps in and you kind of, they come and help you, but it's illegal. So they can't, not meant to do that. So it ends up being 2-on-1. And then the other guy jumps in and it's kind of like, yeah, I used to love wrestling. But God won't do that because he's not going to break the rules. He's going to stay on the other side of the rope waiting for you to tag his hand and say, God, you better come in and do something about this because I'm lost. And the moment you do that and we stand back and say, okay, God, you get on with it. You do it. We start to see with eyes of faith and we say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you need to do. Bang, bang, bang. Oh, wow, that was easy. Why did I not do that 10 years ago? Did you always find that? Did you find that? Like, why have I struggled with this for so long? Why have I put up with this for so long? Why have I been trying to do this on my own for so long? I think the more mature in your faith you get, the more you learn not to do that. I just encourage you to, like, you know, just kind of one of the main things I've had to learn is, like, once I'm in a situation, is how quick am I going to say to God, God, what do you want me to learn in this situation so I can learn it and move on because I don't want to stay here any longer? And I'm finding that the time it takes for me to ask that question is getting shorter and shorter. Before, it could be years. It could be months. It could be weeks. And now it's kind of days. It's like, okay, this is pretty rough. God, what am I supposed to learn here? I need to see this. Okay. It's been a couple of days getting that. And it's amazing how quickly God does that work. And I'd always encourage you with eyes of faith to ask, God, what am I supposed to learn here? I'm not seeing what you're seeing in this situation. Why am I in this situation? What am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to get out of this? Am I supposed to be learning patience? Am I supposed to be learning to be less angry? Am I supposed to be learning to trust people more? Am I supposed to be learning that I can't fix things, only you can? Am I supposed, all these things, it's like, God, what is it I'm supposed to learn? You're supposed to learn this. All right, yeah, I never saw that one coming. Okay, how do I do that then? Bang, 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 there you go. A couple of days later, you're feeling on top of the world, and you're like, oh, great. And we're seeing with eyes of faith, and we're seeing what God sees, because the moment we let him step in, he starts to go to work on our behalf. But he will never step in on your behalf unless you let him. Whether that's in a situation, even if somebody is treating you wrongly, even if you've been harshly treated, wrongly treated, and you feel like you want to go and defend yourself against that person, don't. You just put your hands up and say, okay, God, I'm leaving this to you. You deal with this. Because while ever we're trying to do it, it lets us. But the moment we let God step into a situation, we're amazed at what he does. And most of the time, God's just saying, just hold back and watch what I'm going to do. You're like, oh, really? Better put my eyes of faith on for this one because I really want to go in and give that person a piece of my mind, or I really want to go and say what I think and try and fix this how I think it should be fixed. And God's saying, no, no, no. Go to your room. Calm down. I'm going to deal with this. We've got to be ready for God to do it in his time as well. While the world tends to say in a non-faith setting that seeing is believing. We love that phrase, don't we, in our generation. Seeing is believing. If I can see it, if I can touch it, if I can smell it, if it ignites the senses, then I can believe it. I can see it. I've never seen God, so I don't believe in him. I've never seen Jesus, so I don't believe in him. You know, the one I always use, I love the J. John thing about where the kid kind of in the assembly, I don't know if you've heard this story, J. John, a minister, and a kid stood up in a school assembly and was doing, have you ever seen God? Like, really? Like, only teenagers can, with a bit of, like, attitude, like they know everything. Have you ever seen God? They're like, have you ever seen Queen Elizabeth I? No. Sit down. It's like, and I use this one. It's like saying, is seeing is believing? Seeing, really? And when we were in the school over Easter, doing the question times with the students in the different schools, it's like, have you ever seen William Shakespeare? No. Have you ever seen Henry VIII? No. Have you ever seen... I think somebody else can't remember the other ones I use now. Anyway, historical figures. No, okay. So how do you know that they're real? Well, I've read about them. Okay, well, I've read about Jesus, so I know that he's real. And he's as real as those historical figures. And who he says he is real as well. But sometimes the eyes of faith require us to do something different. Seeing isn't always believing. If I see it, I can believe it. Now, in some ways, seeing in the natural, seeing is believing. If I can touch it, then it's true. But with eyes of faith, yes, seeing is believing, but it's not necessarily seeing it in the physical. It's seeing something that God sees. If I can see it, I can believe it. Who knew that the servant soon believed that God was mighty and great the moment he could see the army? Who knows that Joshua knew that God had seen, "I've given you Jericho," the moment the walls crumbled down? But what they saw first wasn't the physical outworking of it. There was a spiritual outworking of seeing something totally different, of another realm and something different, and seeing how God sees. You see, the Bible's the opposite. It's not about seeing as believing. A lot of the time it's about believing then seeing. And we've got to make a choice whether we're going to rely on God's word and what God says and what he tells us and reject the lies of the devil. Then and only then are we able to see with eyes of faith into the spiritual realm, because there is an enemy, there is a devil, and he is trying to tell you something different. He is trying to show you something different. He is trying to feed into you to say, this is not going to happen, this is going to happen, oh, you failed there, oh, that's all gone wrong, oh, that's wrong. And God's just saying, whoa, lies, park that one. Here's what I see. You are a success. You are trusting in me. You are full of faith. You can do this. Ah, thank you, Jesus. As long as you trust in me. But it was when we start to see into that spiritual realm, it's something different. You see, when we start to focus on the natural, we become nervous. And it starts to eat away at us. We start to struggle. We start to strain. We start to find it hard to recognize what is going to happen here. And we get so focused on the situation that it eats us up inside. Literally. We start with stomach ulcers. You start with feeling sick. It eats away at your body when you start to feel that way. It eats away in a way that is unhealthy. Not just spiritually, but physically. The spiritual battle, because we're trying to fix it in the physical, really starts to take its toll on us. A few more grey hairs, a little bit thinner. Trust me, I've been there. I know what it feels like to be there. Don't be starting getting nervous just to get thin, okay? It's not a recommended diet plan. I was thinking about this, and I know I've shared a number of times about how, obviously, before we had Joey, Sam miscarried a child, so therefore the next pregnancy was so nerve-wracking. I was just convinced, this is not going to work. These first 12 weeks was like, oh, man, it's just going to happen again, it's all going to go wrong again. And I was in such a bad place, in a really bad place. I just couldn't focus on anything else. It was all just like, just hearing the lies of the enemy constantly. Oh, he's going to lose this baby as well, this is not going to happen, this is going to blah, 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 and all this stuff like pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. And listening to it, see, that's the big problem. We move away from seeing with eyes of faith and we start to see with something in the natural. And when we see in the natural, we're only one step away from seeing what the enemy is telling us, because we start to read about things. We're reading about stuff, all about these things. You know, having the internet sometimes an absolute nightmare because something happens. Is this normal? You're reading through all the different things. Like, oh, no, well, this person had that happen and that happened, and this person had that happen, and that happened. And we're reading these people's opinions. They're not even professionals. They're just somebody that's typed up a blog and put anything out there. It's like, okay, what does this... Oh, no, that's even worse. And you're like, you're scouring the internet to try and find an answer. And God's kind of behind the ropes. You're going to tag me in yet? You're going to tag me in yet? Okay. I'll let you struggle a little bit more, but I'm here if you need me. And so in that situation, it got to the point, I was like, okay, God, I can't take this anymore. This is not just interfering with this one situation. It's interfering with everything. I'm snappy. I can't focus on work. I'm struggling to preach. I don't want to eat. I don't want to talk to people. It's quite a tricky thing in the job that I do. I just want to, like, literally, I just wanted to shut myself away in a room until the 12-week scan, find out everything was okay, and then move on with my life. But life doesn't work like that, does it? We can't just shut ourselves away in a room until we get the answer that we want. So I just had to lay and just say to God, God, I need some reassurance from you. I need to see what you see. I need to hear what you hear. I need to know. You need to tell me something here because I can't go on like this. God, show me something. Settle these nerves. Do something. Give me some reassurance. And God, as clear as a bell, just spoke and said, this baby shall not die but live, and declare the word of the Lord. It will be a boy, and you will call him Josiah. And that was like, whoa. Okay. That's specific. I wasn't expecting names. We had to name Elijah because she told us to name Elijah. We didn't even get to choose a name for our second one. But anyway, good names anyway. And it's like, wow, thank you, God. And as soon as that was like, this is what I see. Okay, what you're seeing is you're seeing the problems. You're seeing the struggles. You're seeing the strains. You're seeing the potential problems that could go wrong because that's what happened last time. But what I see is this. Bang. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. And I was able to see with the eyes of faith then, that the eyes of understanding were opened into my life to say, okay, doesn't matter if this happens, God said this. Doesn't matter if this happens, this is what God said. Because God had given me that vision. And when we hear in the Bible, we hear the scripture about, there's a scripture that says, without vision, the people perish or the people fade away. And we so often apply that to a church. So we kind of look and think, oh, well, if the church has not got a good vision, then the people are going to fade. For me personally, that scripture is more personal. It's about me having a vision for me personally. What is God's vision for me personally? What is God's vision for my family? What is God's vision for my marriage? What is God's vision for my house? Yes, it's about having a church and a corporate vision. But if I don't have a personal vision, I'm going to be fading away regardless of whether it's a Bill Hybels vision for a church or and a great massive thing or what. If I'm not operating in my personal vision and seeing with personal eyes of faith, then I'm just not going to be accessing the next thing up anyway. And that applies to every one of us. If we don't see with the eyes of faith, then we miss it. And having that vision and saying to God, okay, God, show me what you see. Tell me what you see. You know, tell me what it is. Show me what it is. It's great if he shows you. It's great getting a vision from God and just showing you something. And you think, man, yeah, I can taste that now. I can see that now. I can go for that. It's great when God just tells you something. When just gives you that message and that word and just says, okay, here you go. And you're like, well, yeah, I can work towards that now. I can operate in that now. I can see with eyes of faith in that now. And as we do that, we start to see that the glory of God opens up into our lives on a whole fresh level. When Lazarus, Jesus' friend, had died, and then Jesus eventually went after Lazarus had been buried, and he came, and Jesus says to them, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not say to you, if you just see with eyes of faith, you'll see the glory of God? Did I not say to you, if you believe in me and trust in me, this is going to happen? Did I not say that if you trust in me, you're going to see the glory of God? In God's kingdom, a lot of the time, believing precedes seeing. We just have to take God's word for it sometimes and say, this just doesn't look realistic. Good. They're the best things. This is not realistic. Great. Well, that just means God can work even greater in a way that is just, you know, it's great when God does work in the things that we can fix ourselves. But when he works in the things that we can't, then we really see his glory. When we're outnumbered by two against an army and God turns up with his army, that's a bit amazing. When we're kind of the little things, because God loves the little things too. He works in the little things. But in the big things where it's like, God, I can't do this. Seriously, I need your help in this. My capacity cannot do this. It's over to you, God. I had to pray that every single time I was writing an assignment for my degree. God, I can't do this. You know that. You know that I'm not academic. You know that I'm not at this level of some of these people who are academic. But you are. God, help me. Help me write this. And I used to have to sit there at my keyboard every time and just pray, God, you're going to have to write through me because I can't do this. And you know, he did. Got a 2.1 in a degree. It's not a first, but it's not too bad. But if I'd have tried to do it on my own strength, it would have been an absolute failure. But I can always, you know, I've got the certificate for my degree on my wall, and I kind of look at it and laugh, because I kind of think that, you know, I didn't get that. It's got my name on it, but it should really have Jesus' name on it. Because he did the work through me. He's the one that got me to that place. He's the one that inspired me to write. He's the one that enabled me to keep going when I wanted to stop. Because in my own strength, I thought, this is just, I can't do this. And as it got each year went on, you had to write more and more. And I'm like, you've got to write more? Seriously? I'm kind of quite happy just writing this many words is fine. But I love that, because that shows me how great God is. Because I know God managed to achieve something through my life, which I couldn't achieve on my own strength. It just wouldn't have happened. It just can't happen. So when we see with the eyes of faith and we see what God says and we do it, or we just see something different and God's like, here you go, see this. It shifts and it changes. So don't be blinded by the natural circumstances. We're so often blinded. Our eyes of faith are blinded by the natural circumstances that surround us. Instead, ask God to open the spiritual eyes as Elisha did for his servant. Perhaps you need to pray that prayer today. God, open my eyes today. Don't open the eyes of my heart, as the song says, but just open my eyes. Open my understanding to see things of God. Open my understanding to see what you see. Because at the moment, I'm seeing the natural, but I want to see God, what you see. I want to see that person, how you see them. I want to see this situation, how you see it. I want to see this church, how you see it. I want to see my life, how you see it. I want to see my family, how you see it. I want to see my marriage, how you see it. You know, having a vision for your life is so important. As I said, without it, you perish. What is God's vision for your life? What is God, those that are married, what is God's vision for your marriage? You know, we'll so often go and pursue a vision for a ministry that we lead, or a work that we lead, or an industry that we lead, and yet we never ask God for a vision for our marriage. What is God saying? What's your vision? God, where do you see us in this amount of time? God, what do you want to see happen in this? God, what's your vision for my family? What's your vision for my children? Because I can just roll on and do family life and do marriage as the books say, or as the programs say, or as I think it should be done. But God, I want to do it how you see it. And it works far greater than that. You know, at the moment as a family, we just have to accept that there's certain things as a family we can't do. As a married couple, there's certain things that we can't do just in that season. But as soon as we pray and say, God, show us what you see, that it's just a season. You're in that season, enjoy it, embrace it, do it. And then when you get into the next one, enjoy, embrace, do it. Enjoy, embrace it, do it. Don't be wishing away this season, waiting for the next one. Don't lose the first year of your child's life by wishing away the teething and the sleepless nights and all those kinds of things, because God's saying, you should be enjoying this. You should be enjoying this. Take a hold of it. See with eyes of faith what I see. And as soon as we start to do that and our spiritual eyes are opened, we recognize that we're not alone. And that's what I love about this, that Elisha and his servant, they eventually recognized that God showed them, yes, a mighty army, but he showed them, you're not alone. You're not in this alone. So often we can feel alone. Have you ever felt alone? Yeah. Even alone, you don't even feel like God's there anymore. You feel like you've been pushed out on a boat into sea and it's just you and you're out of float on your own. But God shows us, you're not alone. You are not alone. There's a great army on your side. God is with you. And he has a massive, massive arsenal of spiritual weaponry at your disposal. I kind of love that picture. I often imagine myself walking into God's armory. I'm one of those, one of those, one of those. That. 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 I love all those. And as we do that, God shows us, I'm with you, I'm for you. You're not alone. I've equipped you. You're his child, filled with his spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're filled with his spirit. And you have the ability today to see with eyes of faith. It's now a time for that faith to rise within you, enabling you to advance God's kingdom and overthrow the powers of the enemy in your life. Because it is a battle. But to stand up and say, okay, I'm overcoming this today. I'm going to see what God sees. And I don't care how many things the enemy is surrounded around me, because I know that what God has surrounded them with is far greater. and I can stand in the middle of it and just know that God is showing me something far more. We've got to stand strong and believe what God says to us so that his glory is manifested into our lives, so that God's glory is shown in such a way in our lives that we take a hold of it and say, okay, God, I now see what you see. Just like Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho. He saw it. Open his eyes, Elisha praying. Open the understanding. Open his eyes of understanding so that he can see what I see. And he opened his eyes and he saw. Today, open your eyes so you can see what God sees. Regardless of what the situation might look like to you, I can guarantee God sees it differently. If you're seeing it through a negative perspective and negative eyes, God sees it differently. Perhaps you're really blessed and you're here today and you're in a situation and God's already opened your eyes to it and you see the chariots of fire and you see what God can see, and that's great. And I'm really pleased that you're able to be in that place. But I think more than not, a lot of the time we just let ourselves slip into the negativity and the struggle. Yeah. And we just have to catch ourselves and say, okay, God, I'm tagging you in. Show me what you see and help me do it. Fight my battles for me. Surround me with your armies. Give me the weapons that I need. Show me what it is that I'm supposed to see, because while I'm seeing as I'm surrounded by an army, I need you to show me the army that's surrounding them. Mm-hmm. And I need to see the glory of God, yeah, in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.